Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I was privileged this past weekend to minister with those in here, you know who you are, that helped me. It was such an awesome privilege to minister to God's people that were hungry for the Word of God, and just to lift their hands and praise the Lord, it was awesome for them. I got to minister to them with a guitar. I learned basic guitar, and I took that, and I added songs to it, and I took that. Whatever I could minister with, if I had to use a saxophone, I would have learned basic saxophone, or whatever I could have got my hands on just to minister to them. And they were just elated and lifted their hands. It's just it touched my heart. And I remove my coat if you don't mind. And Jack and Teresa, Pastor Jack and Teresa, come out, and I just thanked the Lord for the support. Just them being there was just a refreshing lift. And so I said this before, but that's the Great Commission outreach. And every week we go forth, and now the people we touch at Brighton Rehab is just amazing, because you're talking probably over 100 people a month that we've just touched, if not a little more, just by praying for them and just speaking a word in their lives, just a word in season about if their family's hurting or if they're lonely or if they need a healing, if they need a word from God. I was ministering, and I got to share this with you. And I was praying and playing the guitar, and I was just ministering the Spirit, just going through some nice chords where they can just flow, like the A minor. Tim, you know about that chord and how nice and soft they are to listen to. And I told them, I says, you know, God loves you. God loves you so much. Just sing with me whatever's in your spirit. And they received that, and they were just lifting their hands. And first off, let me qualify something. I believe that the mildly retarded, I believe that when they hear something, they speak it. And when they don't speak. Because they know the difference, if you've been around them at all. And this lady just, she just lifted her hands up. And she looked at me and says, God just spoke to me too. He wanted me to tell you that he loves you also. And my heart just wrenched. Because when you're giving out, and all of a sudden you have a word from God comes right back at you. It's instant gratification. But the Great Commission is alive and well. We are ministering. We are also ministering to Smith's Family Personal Care Home. And, you know, folks, they don't even have a church service down there. And there's probably, I would guess, there's probably upwards to 40 people there. And just right now, I just can't do that physically, but I'm sure praying about it. So God strengthens me. But I just wanted to tell you that the Great Commission Outreach is doing well. We are ministering, and I want to give you one more example before I quit. At Smith's Personal Care Home, there's a fellow there that I go in there all the time, and he's standing in front of the mirror like this. He's looking at himself. And I'll go in, and I'll just stand beside him, and I'll say, what do you see? He says, well, I put on some weight. I said, well, he says, I would ask you, if you're looking in that mirror at yourself, do you ever think that there's somebody else that might want to be in your heart looking in that mirror? And he said, no. I said, probably Jesus would. So those are the opportunities I take and get chances to minister to them. So those are powerful, powerful memories that I have. And we're looking at some things this summer that we're going to do as an outreach together as a church. And I just wanted to bring you update, because I never feel that I never say enough about the Great Commission. And it is a good work. Now, said all that, tonight the title is Be a Watchman. And I don't know about you, but this past year, especially into the fall, November, and when we was taking a turn toward the end of the year, I know that God spoke to my heart, and I hit the floor, and I prayed out loud. I just prayed fervently, and I prayed that way for a while, because I felt that the future of my children and grandchildren were so important, and the future of God's family and church and all those that weren't saved. And I believe God moved. And I know I talked to those few in here, and I know there was others that hit their face and prayed also. So isn't God good? He moves on this nation. Isn't it great? And I shared with Pastor, I think it's just a little, we've got grace. I think we're on grace. And I think it's so important that we get in our hearts and quicken our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us and listen to the Holy Spirit. Go where he wants us to go and do what he wants us to do, because it's the hour is so late. Now, I have a scripture I want you to go to right now, 2 Timothy 4, and I want to share that with you because the Holy Spirit brought that scripture to me. And this is just a prelude, because I'm going to share with you about the book of Revelations, and we're going to go into that book because a lot of people are afraid of that book and they just don't read it. So we're going to and with Pastor's help, we're going to go through that and 2-3 chapters at a time and really talk about it and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to it, because church, it's a book of promises. To the one that's saved, it's a book of promises. To the one that's not saved, not so well. Mm-hmm. Not so well. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now 3 says, in my version anyways, you should know this, that that we are in the last days. That's chapter 3, but the Holy Spirit took me to 4. And it says, first one, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead, when he appears to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teachings. And I believe that was a message to the pastors. Amen. 3 says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will teach them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Now, does this sound, we're going to read verse 4. Does this sound like today it did to me when the Holy Spirit had me read it? It says, they will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Is that a word in season? It is. And Paul says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of death is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me. There it is, church. There is a reason. That is to admonish you in this day and hour, don't get sidetracked by this world. Now, it's very tempting. And you always run after rabbit trails. Yeah. Keep your eyes on the prize. Don't allow lust and greed to take over. Keep your eyes on Jesus in everything you do. Now, said that, not scripture. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 3. I'm going to do a lot of reading tonight. I think it's an article I found that I think is going to be better. I'm going to just capsulize and summarize everything that I want to say tonight a lot easier. But verse 4 says, then he said, son of man, go to the people of Israel and give them my message. Now, Cooper Christian Assembly, go to the people of Israel. We've been grafted in, church. Israel's here. We are Israel. We've been grafted in. We are God's children. Son of man, go to the people of Israel and give them my message. I'm not sending you to a foreign people whose language you cannot understand. No, I'm not sending you to people with strange and difficult speech. If I did, they would listen. But the people of Israel won't listen to you any more than they listen to me, for the whole lot of them are hard-hearted and stubborn. But look, I have made you an obstinate and hard-hearted as they are. I've made your forehead as hard as a hardest rock, so don't be afraid of them or fear their angry looks, even though they are rebels. Even though they are rebels, sometimes we just turn away from people. It's just obstinate, and we do. That's our human nature. But, you know, when we have the word in you, you have to leave that word go. You have to tell them, hey, you know what? I know what you're talking about. I was there at one time, but I've got to tell you something. There's more important things that you have to hear right now, whether you want to or not, and tell them and leave it to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think that we have to convert, we have to teach. No, it's not that way. We have to go tell them. It's as simple as you telling them. I want to skip down to verse 16, if you don't mind. There's a lot of good reading here, and for the sake of time, I'm going to just skip down. Verse 16 says, let me back up to hold on just a minute, because there's something I wanted to pull out for you. And when God told it, yeah, here it is, up in 12. I want to pull this out for you. This is kind of, it says that the Spirit of the Lord lifted me up, and I heard a loud rumbling sound behind me. The glory of the Lord, And I heard a loud rumbling behind me. May the glory of the Lord be praised in this place. It was the sound of the wings of living beings as they brushed against each other and the rumbling of their wheels beneath them. I'd like to hear that sound. And the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. This is Ezekiel, church. He said, I went in bitterness and turmoil. But the Lord's hold on me was strong, Tim. Then I came to a colony of Judean exiles in Tel Aviv beside the Kibar River. I was overwhelmed and sat among them for 7 days. Does that sound like a little bit of Jonah there? I think it does. He says, I went in bitterness and turmoil. And the Spirit of the Lord picked him up, and a well picked Jonah up. Yeah. Tel Aviv where Jonah went to Nineveh. They were rough. They were rough. I won't name some cities around here. I don't want to do that. But there's some rough people around here too. They are rough. But it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. That's why we go under the anointing and let the work up to the Holy Spirit. Because I am sure in this house tonight that God has spoken to you all about talking to somebody, and you just, I don't know. It might take a while. Come and swallow you up, take it and spit them out. But if Ezekiel, he had feelings, and I'm pounding his point because I think we walk by feelings and we can't always do that if we want to be a minister of the Lord. I went in bitterness and turmoil. Verse 16 says, after 7 days, the Lord gave me a message. Now, Tim, Dean, that's a long time to sit somewhere. Yeah. It's an obstinate people. 7 days. And he says, son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman for Israel. Whatever you receive a message from me, warn people immediately. I warn the wicked, saying, you are under the penalty of death. When was the last time you did that? But you fail to deliver the warning, they will die in their sins, and I will hold you responsible for their deaths. Now, surely if you miss your assignment, I don't know. I would thank God's grace, but I think we would have to really tune ourselves and tweak ourselves to start listening and doing what God has us to do. I'm sure there's going to be some practice runs. There were some practice runs for me, and there still are. And I walk away sometimes greeting people or just talking and say, well, walk away. I'm thinking, well, what's the matter with you? So, you didn't even tell them about Jesus. I mean, you had, and so I'm practicing, I'm tweaking, I'm honing myself so that I could naturally go and tell someone, well, you know, the Lord's near. We are at a time where we don't have very much time. And actually, the truth, I text some tenants, and my text, the base of my text was, time is very short. Get right with God. You need to do that now. Because inside, I have a quicken in my spirit that time is short. You can't just do enough. You know, you just got to go and do more because you know the time is short. You got to just touch lives. And that's what we do. And I'm sure you all do that. I'm preaching to the choir. I understand. I do understand that. But there's times that we have to watch because we are the choir, and a song's not a song. A song becomes a perfected tool that we want to perfect again and again and again. No pun intended. Again and again. Ding. No, but again and again and again. And God honors that because we have to perfect our talents and ability. And I understand all that. But we got to watch that Satan don't trick us. That now it's about how we sing. It's about how you play a guitar. It's about how you play a horn. It's important, more important than the word. Not. You could sing the worst song and have the best prophecy. So see, church, we got to get away from that. You got to get away from comparing yourself to others and say, I don't sing as good as this guy, or, you know, I'm just not. And God doesn't want us to do that. It's not about the song. It's about your heart. And when you allow a song to take over your heart, then you are not really worshiping God. You're worshiping your song. That was a great song. We hit every note. Oh, praise God. Praise God. No, it may not be that way. It may, but it may not be that way. Amen? That's why pastor has people come and want to get in the tribe with you, or play. It used to be when we had live, man, he had a set. Because you're worldly. You might not want to admit you're worldly, but you're worldly. And pastor will not hurt you like that. So if you warn them, verse 19, and they refuse to repent and keep on sinning, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself because you obeyed. Here's verse 20, church. Very important. It says, if the righteous people turn away from their righteousness behavior and ignore the obstacles I put in their way, they will die. Excuse me, this is talking about righteous people. Once saved, always saved, Tim? This is talking about the righteous people. How could that be? How could they have turned away? I don't get, how could they have turned away? Because they got their eyes off Christ. They got their eyes on themselves. They looked in the mirror like that fella down at Smith's. They looked and they stared at the mirror and they stared at themselves. They said, how much better could I look? How much better could I sing? How much better could I talk to them? How much better could this, better that, better, better, better? And they're looking at themselves, and that allows the enemy to come in. And I do remember this story. I'll share with you real quick. It was a pastor's wife who Satan told her that she was getting older and not as pretty anymore. And I think this is Kenneth Hagin's book, and it said that through the Spirit, you've seen that she received that she was getting older and wasn't as pretty, and it was a black dot right there. And every day she thought on this, that she wasn't getting prettier. And in the mirror, she would come in and do things different so she would look better. And the dot fell from her forehead to her heart. And it wasn't long after that that she left her husband, the pastor of the church, because she felt there was more out there for her. How could that be? She was the righteous. Why? She got her eyes off Christ. And we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, church. That's why we went to 1 Timothy 4. Because it's the lust of other things. And scarcely the righteous be saved. Let us be watchmen. We need to be watchmen. If we are watchmen, we won't be watching ourselves. And you'll be watching the time because the watchmen are the ones that know the time, the season. They know what season they're into. The watchman knows that they're getting in their spirit urgency, and they're praying. The watchman at the gate, if he didn't tell the city that they were being attacked and they were coming miles away, guess what? He was gone because he didn't do his job. So if we are watchmen for Christ in this country, then we have to hit our knees and pray and intercede, because I could say that the dogs or whomever at the door, they are here. They are here. They are among us. And it's just like Roman days. Paul put up with that. They were among them. Paul had to really minister to the churches because they were getting deceived. Verse 20, if the righteous turn away from the righteous behavior and ignore the obstacles I put in their way, they will die. And if you do not warn them, they will die in their sins. None of their righteous acts will be remembered. Hello. Did you hear that? A righteous person, Denny? And if they turn away, not one righteous act will be remembered. A pastor said to this church, man, grace is not a license to sin. We are not, Christ didn't die for us to go sin and be like the world. We are to be the righteousness in Christ. He was our example. Verse 22, then the Lord took hold of me. Get up and go into the valley. I will speak to you there. So I got up and went, and there I saw the glory of the Lord, just as I had seen in my first vision by the Kedar River. And I fell face down in the ground. The Spirit came into me and set me on my feet. He spoke to me and says, go to your house and shut yourself up. There he goes to his home. I don't want to read any further because he goes and he shuts his tongue up until God wants him to speak. Now listen, church, there's God could shut your tongue up, or the enemy could shut your tongue up. But there's a time that you've been called when you are to speak. Don't miss that time. Esther was told, you've been called for such a time as this. Don't miss your time. And each and every one of you, and I'm going to tell you, because I say this, and I feel I don't even say it often enough. We've been taught by the best. Pastor and Bert, we've been taught by the best. We don't always please the best, but we've been taught by the best. And because you've been taught by the best, you should minister like the best. You should be out there and minister because you know what you're talking about. So then that responsibility is on us. If we've been trained, don't miss your hour. We are watchmen. And you know what? It's this is a prelude to Revelation, because there's so much. I mean, in Revelation, I was reading it, Pastor, and it's not that it was overwhelming, but I didn't see it that way. Good example, Pastor. So I share the seven churches of Asia Minor. I always thought they was a church. They're not a church. When he was talking about the churches, the seven churches, he was talking about congregations. In that location, like he's talking about all the Christians in Aliquippa and Beaver Falls and Center. He's talking about people. I thought, wow. So we look at things, and he, five churches he rebuked and two he gave accommodation. So God's watching the churches. And if you don't want to be a part of the church, which I know you all do here, okay? But if someone doesn't want to be a part of the church, then that's their prerogative. Let the church be the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. How is that? Because God's hand is on us, and he spoke to us. He spoke to the churches. So that's what we're going to get into in Revelation. But when I talk about the watchmen, in Revelation 2 and 3, it sounds, when God's talking to the church, it's like the spirit wind. He says, listen to the spirit wind. See what I have to say to the churches. One of the common threads through that was, and I thought about this, it's powerful. Don't lose your first love. I remember myself. I remember years ago how I didn't care. Man, I'd hit a four-day fast. Not that I'm advocating fast. I'm just saying how I was. And I would do without. And I would go before the Lord, and I had down on the cliff. I had a house that we scaled down. I bought that house and I called it the upper room. Went up and gone on my face and cried out to God because he's my first love. See, don't be deceived by chasing after money. Don't be deceived chasing after fame. Don't be deceived because you will become numb. It just gets a little easier. Just gets a little easier. You know, I didn't do it for a couple of days. I didn't pray. So what? You know what I mean? Here it is a week, and I'm too tired. And church, I know this from experience, okay? And he told the churches, get back to your first love. I have one thing against you. Also, he said he put out their candle. Now, the virgins, five went without oil, five kept their oil. What is the oil? The oil is the Holy Spirit. They walked in the Holy Spirit. They listened to the Holy Spirit. Well, that five slept. Watchmen. We are the watchmen today, whether you want to be or not. Why? Because you are taught. Why? Because you have the truth in you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's working big in you. That's why you are the watchman today. We ought to watch, church. And you know what? I would say if I knew three or four people, five, six, a dozen in this church, I would go to them, tell them, we're in the last days, my friend. Come to church. Don't forsake the assemblies, much more so, because the day of the Lord's coming. He's coming like a thief in the night. And we'll talk about pre-trib. Pastor's going to be here. But I am a strong advocate of pre-trib. I don't believe that we're going to be here for any of that nonsense after Revelations 4. None of that. His wrath is not for you. His righteousness is for you. Unless you choose not to, then you will reap what you sow. But I wanted to just do that with the watchman, and I'm going to study hard on Revelations. We're going to try to get into probably the first three chapters, and then we'll break into four, because that's when the church goes up. So, and then I'm going to have Pastor kind of watch over me there so we don't get off into any error, because it's very important. And God bless you, and you're a watchman.